Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
James chapter 4, we're just going to look at five verses of scripture today. Five verses of scripture. Do not miss God's will. We have all kinds of people here at North Central, and all people are welcome here. Every race, every skin color. We come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some are single, some are married, some have been married for a long time, and some just got married. Some have kids, and some don't have kids. Now, many here today and many watching us online are believers, but not all. But we are all here today because we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Our Lord compels this church to share Jesus and to make disciples who will in turn make other disciples. And because of that, our people get together in small groups and one-on-one on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is, say it with me, wonderful. Jesus is wonderful. Look in our text here. This is James chapter 4. We're going to read verses 13 and following, but I want you to look at verse 15. Look at verse 15. It says, instead you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or do that. How do we miss God's will? We miss God's will by not yielding to God. And really, the core of that is pride. Last week when we looked at the concept of why wars, why is there conflict? Some people are just, they just are conflicted. And I get that way sometimes. If you don't believe me, ask Kelly, okay? I can get conflicted, and sometimes when I do, it's because I want my own way. Pride gets in the way. What is the middle letter of the word pride? I want my way. And we learned that we want our own pleasure. So the reason that there's conflict is because of pride. Now, the reason that we miss God's will is because of pride too. An unyieldedness to the Lord and an unyieldedness to his will in our lives. You ought to say, the scripture says in verse 15, if the Lord wills, I will do this and that, that type of thing. But we don't do that. We, in our arrogance, we are prideful. We want to run our own lives. I always come back to this. Really, life is about a decision. It's a decision of who is going to be the Lord of your life. Who is going to run your life? Are you going to allow Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, your Creator, the one who made heaven and earth, the one who knows more about you than you know about yourself, are you going to let him run your life, or are you going to say, no, I want to run my own life and do it my own way? If you do that, you're outside of the will of God. If you say, I want the Lord to run my life, then you will give your life to Jesus Christ, surrender to him, and trust him to be your Savior. We are in this series in the book of James, Christianity in Blue Jeans. Somebody said to me the other day, they said, Pastor Calvin, you're preaching on Christianity in Blue Jeans and you hadn't worn any blue jeans. You've been thinking that, hadn't you? So we just may have Blue Jeans Sunday. Now we have blue jeans every Sunday in church. Amen, blue jean people? Okay, we have blue jeans, but we just may have a church-wide Blue Jeans Sunday, maybe in a couple of weeks from now. I'll give you the word on that. Maybe on the 28th. I got to go get me some really nice blue jeans. I need those real tight kind. It ain't happening. But anyway, we've been talking about, man, we have been having a blessing by studying James, who was the half-brother of Jesus. He was Jesus' brother, and he became the leader of the church in Jerusalem. And I'm telling you, he hits you like a Gatling gun with powerful truths. We talked about trials on the outside of our life. Now, these are not This is not milquetoast Christianity. Not that anything that was the milk of the word would not be good. But you know, there's a time that we're to grow up. And that's the theme of the book of James, is grow up, be mature, get with it, put on your blue jeans, take off your diapers, and put on your blue jeans, get out of the crib, get in the game. That's the concept of the book of James. So we've looked at trials on the outside and temptation on the inside. Be a doer of the word, not just a hearer of the word. And these are all like hammers coming down upon you. You have no excuse. I have no excuse. God has spoken to us in these ways. We are to be a doer of the word. We're not to show favoritism. That's a truth of our text here. We're supposed to, we realize that true faith shows works. Remember our illustration, we have fire in the fireplace. That represents faith. But then you have smoke in the smokestack. You see the smoke as a result of the fire in the fireplace. All right, those are works. So faith without works is dead. When you have true faith, guess what you're going to have? When you have true fire, guess what you're going to have? Smoke. When you have true faith, guess what you're going to have? You're going to have works, all right? Then we talked about the tongue. The tongue. Control your tongue. Then we talked about how to be wise, and we realized that wisdom comes from being meek. The word meek is an awesome word in the New Testament. Jesus said he was meek. It means to be teachable. It means to be yielding to the will of God, okay? So we are, if we want to be have wisdom, we've got to do that. And then we talked about why wars, and we realized it was because of pride that we have conflict. Well, in the same way, pride affects us with the will of God. So four quick things in these five verses of Scripture. I tell you what, let me read the text, and then we'll come back and look at the four things. This is James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. We'll finish up this chapter today. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him that knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Here's the first thing I want you to write down. Number one, pride ruins planning. Pride ruins planning. He says, come now. Now, this is the imperative that is in the text. He says, come now. Pay attention. This little phrase where he says in verse 13, come now, is a prompter. He's saying, now listen. Now listen. When I was a young boy, our pastor used to, every once in a while, he'd stop and he'd say, hear me. Hear me. It was a prompter to kind of wake up. Now, I'm always looking out here for people that are dozing off. I take a lot of comfort in knowing that if I can, there's some of you that I gauge my sermon on. If you don't fall asleep, man, I really preached a good one, you know. But anyway, in all seriousness, this is a phrase that he says, come now, I want you to listen. You who say, okay, in the scripture, he says, today or tomorrow we're going to go to such and such a city and spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Well, when he says those of you who say, it's a present tense and it's like you're saying it over and over again. This was not an isolated incident. Now, it may have been there were business people, and we've got business people here, and you're planning out your business, but you're not allowing God to be a part of it. Some of us here, as believers, we're planning out the things that we do with our time and our talents and our treasure, but we're not trusting God for that. But we take control of that, all right? And we think we have the way to do it. Now listen, notice the well-laid plan. He says, I'm going to go to this or that city. I'm going to spend a year there. I'm going to carry on business, and I'm going to make money. Now, the starting time is arranged. It's going to be either today or tomorrow, he says. The city has been selected, And the Greek text simply just says this city. It doesn't name a particular one. Then it says, but you realize we're going to go, the time when we're going to go is set, the place where we're going to go is set. There is no place in the plans for God. There's not one thing that's in this text in verse 13 that leads you to believe that he is trusting in God or yielding to God's will. You know, when you have a decision to make, the first thing you should do is pray. You should say, Lord God, would you give me wisdom to know the right decision and what to do? Proverbs 27:1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 are some stalwart verses that you ought to commit to memory. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. That's the opposite of pride. In all your ways, acknowledge him, yield to him, and he will direct your paths. But in this particular case, pride messes up and ruins planning because there was no place in his plans there that yielded to God, okay? Here's the second thing. Not only does pride ruin planning, but pride ruins priorities. You know, time is short. Time is short. Now, I remember when I was younger, they would say, boy, time just gets along. It just, boy, it's going to start moving fast, Calvin. Man, when I was in school, in high school, and I was taking chemistry, and I was taking algebra and trig, and I was taking all this stuff in school, I was thinking, man, they tell me time goes by fast, but it takes forever to get to summer. Y'all remember those days when you couldn't wait till summer break? I got one guy that remembers it. Okay, good. But anyway, the point is, the longer I live, the more I realize time is short. Now, let me tell you something that whether or not I realize it or whether or not you realize it, God says that time is short. Look at that passage, our text. It says in verse 14, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. Boy, there's the unknown. The truth is, we ought to be so grateful to the Lord that we're here today with our church family worshiping the Lord. You don't know what may happen tomorrow. And he says, for what is your life? It's almost as if he says that it's pretty insignificant when you compare it. Now, we think in pride that you know, everything surrounds us, everything's about us. But he says, but really, what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Okay? It's like boiling water. You boil water on the stove and it begins to boil and the steam comes up. And if you try to harness that steam, put it in a baggie, it goes away. I mean, you see that steam coming up, you go like that, and all of a sudden it's gone. And you realize that life is that way. When you compare our years on this earth to eternity, it's really a short time. You know, a short time span causes priorities. When you have a little bit of time for a test, before the test, it changes the way you live. It should, right? It should. When you have a deadline, you know, deadlines, men operate better under deadlines. I've just learned that. You know, if I don't have a deadline, why do it now? You know? But if I have a deadline, oh, wow, I set a deadline. By the end of this day, I've got to have this done. Well, then, boom, I go to work on it, okay? You go to work on it. And that's what happens when you realize that time is short and when life is even a vapor. When your time is limited, then all of a sudden it affects priorities. Now, if you're prideful and you don't have God's view of life in your sight, then you just live life like life isn't short. The idea is you're to do what God's called you to do and do it now, to be involved in it and to do it now. In Job, it has a lot about life, and it says, the cloud is consumed and vanishes away, Job 7:9. Our days upon the earth are a shadow, Job says in Job 8:9. It says, now my days are swifter than a post, referring to the royal couriers that hastened in their missions. All right? They are passed away as the swift ships, as the eagle that hastens to prey. That's how fast time goes by. Man that is born of a woman is of a few days, Job says, and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. You know, Paul said in the book of 2 Timothy to the young man, the young pastor, Timothy, he's in chapter 4, verses 1 and following, he says, I charge you before God, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove and rebuke with all longsuffering. He was talking about preaching the word of God. He talked about urgency. He talked about fervency. He talked about intensity. But now in our pride, we don't have that urgency. Oh, I'll put it off. You remember those that came to Christ, and one said, well, I've got to go back and do this. I've got to go back and bury somebody. I've got to do that. I've got to go back and do this. I've got to go back and do this. And this is what pride does. Pride ruins priorities. In other words, the thing you are sensing God wants you to do, when you're prideful and you're running your own life and you're not considering that time is short and that your opportunity is short, then all of a sudden it ruins your priorities. When I was at UF, I remember a message I heard. The speaker basically said this to us as college students. He said, you know, you guys need to be serving the Lord right now. He said, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, you know, when I finish my schooling, I'm going to start serving the Lord. He said, but here's what's going to happen. Then when you finish your schooling, you're gonna think, okay, then I'll serve the Lord. And then you're going to think, you know what? Maybe when I get married and settle down, I'm going to start serving the Lord. And then you're going to get married and you're going to think, okay, maybe I should serve the Lord. Wait a minute. Maybe we need to have kids. Wait till I have some children. When I get the children, then I'm going to go to church. I'm going to start serving the Lord. And then he said, you're going to be thinking about it again. You're going to say, you know, I'm in the middle of this career, and man, it's going really heavy right now. And I'm building. I'm climbing a ladder to have a strong provision for my family. And so you'll put it off and say, man, when I get through this career building time, then I'll serve the Lord. And then the time will come, ultimately, you get the picture. You'll say, you know what, I've been so busy. When I retire, I'll serve the Lord. Basically what he was telling me, and it really impacted me as a college student. Basically what he was saying is, if in your pride you're not serious about the fact that your life is a vapor, then you'll put off the things that you know God wants you to do. You'll just put it off, and you'll just put it off. The truth is, a short time forces you into priorities. Think about that. A short time forces you into priorities, and priorities cause focus, and focus brings effectiveness. I have a magnifying glass at the house, and I used to do other things with it. Now I use it to read stuff, okay? But anyway, I have a magnifying glass. When I was a kid, I loved magnifying glasses. You know, you can take the sunlight, and the sunlight can just warm a sidewalk. It can be kind of nippy, but if you get in the sunlight, it kind of warms your body. But you can take the sunlight, and you can focus it and start a fire. When you're in the will of God, and you realize that time is short, it helps you with your priorities. I would just say this to you. I don't know how this applies to each of you in this congregation, but I would say this to you. Whatever the Lord wants you to do, do it. And do it now. And do it with all your heart. Because the Bible says life's a vapor. When Paul was in prison, in Rome, he told Timothy, he said, come before winter. He was saying, look, I want you to come before winter, because it might have been that Paul was going to be executed. He actually was. And if Timothy had not come, he would not have seen Paul. And there's some things in this world that we've got to do. I don't know what it is God's called you to do. Maybe you're thinking about teaching a class for young people, for preschoolers, for children, for our young people, for our college students, for a young couples class, a young adult class. Maybe there's something you're thinking about doing. Hey, do it. Maybe you've got to share Jesus with a neighbor. Maybe there's someone on your heart that you should share Christ with. If God has called you to do it, don't put it off. Do it, because pride ruins priorities. But when you're yielded to the Holy Spirit, yielded to God, then it gets things done, and it causes priority to be in our lives. Go on that mission trip. If God's called you to do it, you've always thought, you know, I want to go on a mission trip. Well, you know what? You ought to. We need to find one for you. We need to get you involved in missions in some way. But what is it that the Lord has called you to do? I encourage you to do it. I recently went to see my kids in Jacksonville, the kids that live there. And on our way over, I told Kelly, I said, there's a gentleman that really impacted my life that I want to go see him. He's in a memory care facility, and I want to go see him. And we had a busy day. We were trying to see our grandkids and see our kids and everything. And I said, well, they're not out of school yet. Let's just swing by there. I found out the place was all the way at the beach. I had to go 45 minutes past where I was trying to go and everything. But I said, I want to go see him. Went and saw him. Got to look him in the eye, and I got to tell him, Bill, thank you for the influence you had on my life. Thank you for the way that you taught me God's word. Thank you for being an example. He used to come to Gainesville and North Central guys that he knew. He'd take them to Art Steakhouse. I think I've told y'all about that. He'd take us to Art Steakhouse, and he poured into our lives. He was just a great influence in our life. I got to tell him that. Hey, about 1 month later, he died. I am so glad, and I don't do this often, but I am so glad that I was prompted and I obeyed what I felt like God wanted me to do, and Kelly and I got to see him. Who is it that you need to look them in the eye today? And you need to look them in the eye and not make it fast, but till they really lock in, and you look in the eye and you say, you know, I just want to tell you how much I admire you. I want to tell you how much I love you. I want to thank you for the influence you've had on my life. Can I tell you something? Whatever God's called you to do, you ought to do it. And do it now, because God's will brings priority into your life. But pride messes up and ruins priorities. So the first thing is pride ruins planning. They planned without God involved at all. They just said arrogantly, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this. But what is your life? It's even a vapor. Pride ruins planning. Pride ruins priority. Number three, pride ruins flexibility. In verse 15, look at this. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills. If the Lord wills. In other words, when you are yielded to the Holy Spirit of God and yielded to God, then you know God may move you in different directions. You may not do exactly what you thought you were going to do, but I promise you, whatever God calls you to do and gets you to do, then you'll be glad that you did it. But pride says, no, this is the way I'm going to do it. This is what's going to happen to me. This is where I'm going, and there's no willingness to listen to the Lord. If the Lord wills, it says, do this or that. And then it says, we shall live and do this or that. Verse 16, but now you boast in your arrogance. The word arrogance there means a proud confidence in one's own knowledge or cleverness. We think we're so clever, don't we? And James is saying, listen, you need to yield. You need to yield your pride. Lay down your pride and let God be the ruler of your life. He says, but you're not doing it. He said, you're arrogant. He says there, and you boast, not only are you arrogant, you boast in it. It means a proud confidence in one's own knowledge or cleverness. It's a false arrogance, actually. They think that they can control their life. They think that they can say, oh, tomorrow I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that, or I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. Let me tell you something. God has the power to maneuver anything. And so the correct response ought to be, you know what? If the Lord wills it, then that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to be led. And so it gives you a flexibility in life. And you look back with hindsight and you see how God maneuvered things to get you exactly where you're supposed to be. So do not miss God's will. Pride ruins the planning. Pride ruins the priorities. In verses 15 and 16, it ruins flexibility, because we ought to say, if the Lord wills, we'll do this. And so you're open to flexible plans that God may maneuver in that way. All right? Here's the last thing. Pride ruins obedience. Look at verse 17. It says, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. If you are prideful and you just reject what God wants you to do, you're committing sin. You know what the Lord wants you to do. Now, the word therefore, I want you to see that in verse 17. It says, therefore, to him who knows to do good. Basically, that little therefore is saying this: you have been fully warned. You have been fully warned. And so, church family, everybody that's studying this with us, myself included, we have all been fully warned. In other words, if we in our pride say, I'm going to run my own life, I'm not going to allow the will of God to have a place in this, I'm not going to do what God wants me to do, then all of a sudden we realize we have been fully warned. Because if we know to do good and we don't do it, to him it's sin. Warren Wiersbe, was talking to a youth at a conference, and the youth said this: I would give my life to the Lord, but I'm afraid. The teenager said, Wiersbe said, what are you afraid of? He said, I'm afraid God will ask me to do something dangerous. Wiersbe said, the dangerous life is not in the will of God, but out of the will of God. The safest place in the world is right where God wants you to be. And as we yield to the Lord, as a matter of fact, we realize this, as we are willing to obey, he is willing to reveal his will. Obedience is the organ of spiritual knowledge. In other words, when you're obedient to the Lord, when you're yielded to the Lord, that's when you get the will of God revealed to you. We think, okay, Lord, I want to know everything you want me to do and then let me decide. No, it doesn't work that way. What does the scripture say? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You're walking along, and God's word, it's not a big old spotlight like you hunters have. You hunters have those big old things, you know, and you plug those things in, man, you can see, and your beam of light goes way out in the future. Well, the word of God says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. All we see is what's right around our feet. The next step, where do we go? And the truth is, when we follow that lamp, we make the step the Lord wants us to make, and at the end of our life, we look back and we realize you were in the center of God's will the entire time. Center of God's will the entire time. But it's our willingness to humble ourselves and to surrender to Jesus that actually reveals the will. You can't look way out ahead and say, okay, Lord, I want you to show me everything before I decide. No, you must yield. You must be willing, and you must yield to the Lord. When the three Hebrew children in the book of Daniel were captured, Nebuchadnezzar said to them, you've got to bow down and worship the image. And they said, we don't even need to have a committee meeting about this. We don't even need to talk about it. We've already decided that we are only going to worship our Lord. It was a previous decision that was made. And they said, regardless of the outcome, we're serving the Lord. Well, that is the commitment. That is the kind of commitment that you and I must make. You know, Joseph, we're studying Joseph on Wednesday nights in our prayer meeting group that meets at 4 o'clock. We're having some great Bible study and some great attendance. I hope if you could get there, I know it's a little early. If you can get there, I'd love for you to come. But we've been talking about Joseph. Joseph responded correctly. Think about it. He was sold into slavery. He always honored the Lord in every situation in his life. And he's one of the rare examples of that in Scripture. And Joseph, he honored the Lord even when sold into slavery, even when imprisoned. And he said at the end, he said, you know what? He said, y'all meant it for evil, but God turned it for good. That's what happens when we yield. So how do we find God's will? We find God's will by laying down pride. We find God's will by laying down pride. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. But you will not know the will of God until you yield all of you to the Lord. 2 Chronicles 16:9 is a great verse of Scripture. It says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is turned to him, or perfect towards him, one version says. In other words, doesn't mean they're perfect, but it means their heart is turned to the Lord. That verse tells me the Lord is above the earth looking around. He looks in the Western Hemisphere. He looks in North America. He looks in the United States of America. He looks in the state of Florida. He comes to Alachua County. He comes to Gainesville. He comes to North Central Baptist Church on a Sunday morning. And when he sees someone whose heart is turned to him, the Bible says he strongly supports those whose heart is perfect towards him. We trust in the Lord with all of our heart, lean not on our own understanding, and all our ways acknowledge him, and then he will direct our paths. But we have to up front give Jesus everything. I've told you this before, but it illustrates it to me. There was a little girl who had a bag of candy and a little boy who had a bag of marbles. And the little girl said to the little boy, said, hey, if you'll give me all the marbles, I'll give you all the candy. And he said, oh, no. He said, I love my marbles. I love my marbles. No, I'm not going to do that. Well, he got to thinking about that candy. And so he went back and he said, okay. He said, if you'll give me the candy, I'll give you the marbles. And so he went back and got his marbles and he took out his prize marble. Maybe it was a shooter. I don't know. I didn't do marbles. Some of y'all know about marbles. But he had this bag of marbles. He took out his prize marble and he put it under the pillow, and then he tied his little bag. He said, okay, here's all the marbles. She said, here's all the candy. That night, she laid in bed asleep, strong sleep as you've ever seen in your life, because she had the bag of marbles. He laid awake all night, wondering if she had given him all the candy. Some of us, some of you, we don't have victory in finding God's will because we've really not given Jesus all the marbles. But when you turn over every aspect of your life in surrender, lay pride down, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, then he will direct your paths. But pride ruins it. Pride ruins it. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life.
We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.